And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out.
On today's show, Saski brings us Para Pride. Mary Milton talks to singer-songwriter David McColmont.
And of course, Under the Brolly.
Is it raining?
No, the podcast.
News chat, music.
And a whole bunch more to completely through me there.
No. What about your chiffon rainbow throw?
Oh, right. Okay, yeah, that too. All here for the next hour. How are we?
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
You've got 2 minutes, Andrew, to abuse me, and then we're moving on.
And then there's the next feature.
I can save it. It's worth more than 2 minutes. It's fine.
Okay.
Chiffon.
End of the show, then.
Chiffon. When have I ever won chiffon?
Well, I thought it, always.
Probably for you in that number.
Your husband told me that you're always wearing chiffon.
I think you missed it that for something else.
Is it code?
If it is a hanky code colour.
Do you think there's a scene for chiffon? Do you think that maybe we could sort of like launch a new club night?
If you can dream it, somebody's into
wool,
it.
Woolen clothes, do you think?
Well, there are people into suits, into three-piece suits and things like that.
There are, actually. What you mean, formal business wear.
BBC news reporters.
Yeah.
Yeah. What, people are into BBC news reporters?
That's very specialist scene. RadioBristolDating.com.
Don't send listen.
I'm sure last week or the week before we've had that some people are into dinosaurs.
Oh, that was weird.
Yes. dinosaur erotica. Fascinating.
Yes,
a new one on me.
Although, do you know, incidentally, that paleontologists are not sure how a lot of dinosaurs actually mated because they were so huge.
And because
the soft tissue obviously hasn't been preserved in many cases, it's just the bones.
Aliens, so artificial insemination, Terry.
Do you think so? Do you think the alien? Of course, some people say, the aliens wiped out the dinosaurs.
And
some people also say the world is flat, mate.
They do. That's very true.
And the aliens made the gays.
Aliens made the gays.
Or the
aliens are the gays. You never know.
Well, looking at you, Andrew.
Aliens.
The green tinge gives it away.
Yeah.
I've seen V. I know what happens.
Anyway, should we head over and catch up with Saski?
Why not?
Saski 5. Oh, yes.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to my Saski 5 with LGBTQ+ Shout Out Radio. And this time on my Celebs and Regs, I have someone very special, a very dear friend of mine, Mr. Wayne Allingham, a.k.a. Miss Sugar Cube. How are you, Wayne?
I'm absolutely fabulous, darling.
Ah, great, great. Listen, so pleased to have you on my show. Thank you so much. I'm loving all the great work that you are doing for the LGBTQ+ disabled community. And today we're going to talk about two events in particular that I really want to promote and put out there with you. And the first one is Disabled Hearing Queer. And then the second one is Para Pride. So tell me a bit more about Disabled Queer and Hear, first of all.
Right, Disabled Queer in Here is a awareness night plus a platform for disabled artists to show their talent.
Yeah.
On the queer scene, LGBTQ queer scene, and also Disabled Queer in Here is basically a night for the disability community to go out, have fun with their friends, with their families, with their friends, to care as if they need it, to enjoy equality in the community and be as one.
Yes,
because we have got in the in the gay community, we are quite limited on spaces for accessibility.
Yeah.
Because of the disabilities. So, and we do our shows at the RBT, and we do them at the Two Brewers in Clapham.
Oh, fabulous. So this show is going to be at the RVT, though, isn't it? On the 17th of April.
Yes, the 17th of April.
Fab.
It will be at the RVT.
Yes.
Which is a Wednesday night, I believe.
Great stuff. That's really good. So we've got that on the 17th at the RVT. And again, it's a showcase for the queer disabled community. And also because the RVT has great access, or better access. And so does the Two Brewers, for people from the disabled community to access those venues, aren't they? So with that in mind, you also are responsible, or part responsible, for Para Pride. Now, this is the first of its kind, isn't it? And it's going to be on the 17th of August, again at the RVT, and it's going to be inside and out. So, quickly, tell me a bit more about the Para Pride.
Right, the Para Pride is... It was a little seed I mentioned last year, and it's grown. We have a team. We are doing the very first Disability Pride in London.
Woo-hoo.
On the 17th of August.
Yeah.
And it is to make sure that all the disability community can go out to a pride and have fun and be more inclusive as well.
That's great.
Because there's so many, many issues what need to be addressed.
Yeah.
And With Para Pride, it's a pride for disability people, but everyone is welcome.
Yeah.
To make it more inclusive for everybody.
Yeah.
There's going to be a stage, there's going to be stalls, there's going to be everything.
Oh, that is so amazing. Do you know what? I'm really pleased that you've put that on, because, you know, I have a lot of friends that have particularly wheelchair users, and it really is a real struggle. So I know that that is something, and the fact that it's the first of the kind. You've even actually been picked up with the BBC, haven't you, and Channel 4, but the BBC are going to do culture trips, so they're going to be following you around on the day. And also for the Disabled Queer and Hear event, aren't they? So they're going to be doing a documentary about everything you're doing for the disabled community, Wayne. Is that right?
That is right,
yeah.
Yes.
I'm so pleased. Well, listen, Wayne, we've got to wrap it up, but I just want to say, I know you're going to have the website launch in May, and also there's going to be further details on the Royal Vauxhall Tavern website, but the Disabled Hearing Queer is 17th of April at the RVT. Para Pride is the 17th of August at the RVT. People, all I can say is just watch out, watch this space, get your tickets. You know, BBC Culture Trip, they're going to be putting your show on in July in time for Pride. Wayne, I just want to leave it by saying you actually are officially my queero of the week. So thank you so much for everything you're doing. And Miss Sugar Cube, I salute you. So thank you for coming on my show, and I'll speak to you soon. Thanks a lot, Wayne.
That's okay. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Shout Out,
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
So what's that?
What's what?
What's that?
Which?
The song.
Rainbow Valley. I thought it just for you.
But you put the date on it.
You with your chiffon throw, Rainbow Valley. Or and your unicorn in tow. You're set.
My unicorn.
Yeah.
Wise men never play leapfrog with unicorns, you know that.
So they say.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a question for Terry and Andy. Your start for 10, both. What year was this in the hit parade?
1968.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
You counted back from my birthday.
I worked it out, yeah.
So I was going to go 67, but 1 year out, so...
Well, Terry gets the 10 points. We'll give you a consolation prize.
Oh. Have you picked all old songs tonight? Sorry, sorry. Have you picked all of your young childhood songs?
My Dan, who's asking?
So what's the consolation prize? Blankety blank check.
We'll let you know. I'm liking that, yes.
Oh, would that be a Terry Wogan blankety blank check for Compen?
Lily Savage version?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Remember? Yeah. Lily Savage presented.
Oh, she used to get quite crude with her blanks, didn't she?
She did.
I think there was always a bit of innuendo in blankety blank.
It was the thinnest microphone I've ever seen.
That was Terry Wogan's microphone, whereas Les Dawson, he just had a standard mic, didn't he?
He had a big one, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, should we get some news headlines?
This is Shoutout News on Thursday, the 11th of April, 2019.
The long-standing social and support group Gay West have launched a new publicity drive with a brand new leaflet, professionally produced and printed. The group operates a number of social initiatives, the most regular of which is the weekly Rainbow Cafe at the St Michael's Centre in Bath. This runs every Saturday morning from 10:30 a.m. and often kicks off a day of socialising and perhaps shopping for the members. Gay West also explain in their new literature, "We were formally set up in 1982, but our roots go back to April 1970, making us one of the longest surviving LGBT groups in the UK. In the 1970s, the group campaigned strongly for homosexual equality, and later it was recognised to be more of an independent support and social group covering Bristol, Bath and the surrounding areas.
The community newspaper for Rington Vale, an area of North Somerset, the Chew Valley Gazette, reports that a new Whole Foods shop has opened in the town of Kensham. The Conscious Foods and Lifestyle Shop will welcome many members from the gay and trans people in the area who are interested in veganism, animal rights and ecology. The shop is not exclusively vegan and stocks, for example, locally sourced dairy produce as well as organic food and toiletries. You can find the store at number 1 Bath Hill in the town centre or search for them online for a mail order service.
Now listen up, because faff is out and functionality is in. That's the verdict of Morwenna Ferrier looking at the spring season's fashions in The Guardian. Ferrier reports from European catwalks to reveal that boiler suits are soaring in popularity as gender-fluid clothing becomes more acceptable and people are more ethically conscious where they shop. For example, Americans choosing guaranteed trade union labour from garment factories or Europeans shopping for clothes in charity shops. Now, the surge for the humble boiler suit will come as no surprise to members of the LGBT communities. In the 80s, lesbian women pioneered the wearing of functional work clothes in a revival of traditional butch femme culture, whilst there is also a lively scene of gay men who wear overalls as a fetish, with a work gear fetish community online. So be sure to check out your charity shops for boiler suits, and you can accessorise as you see fit. It's this season's must have.
In a broadcast monitored by our team based in South Bristol, Radio Romania International, the global voice of state media in that country, has aired a lengthy piece on feminism in the region ahead of a publication of a major new work called Feminist Perspectives on Society in Romania. In the article, the political expert spoke of the challenges of being feminist in the country. Women are still struggling to be taken seriously in the arts, literature and politics. One of the more unusual stumbling blocks is that in a deeply reactionary and conservative communist dictatorship of Nicolae Ceaușescu, feminist and pro-equality policies were enacted by the state, which has led to some association between feminism and Soviet-style communism. Despite this, the programme finished on an upbeat assessment of the future for women in the country. As European Union norms and tolerance become a greater part of the social sphere, Radio Romania International is available online and transmits a nightly English language programme at 11 o'clock British time.
And finally, FYI Zine, an independent music magazine, notes that the puppet musical Avenue Q will be ending its 15-year run on Broadway this month. The magazine notes that using Sesame Street-style puppets to soften the impact of its darkly humorous content, the show won the hearts of both theatre-goers and critics when it opened in 2003. Now, you may remember that Avenue Q had a distinctly LGBT vibe as well, as it chartered the modern world and its ethics. And on one occasion, the puppet cast joined the presenters of the then national LGBT radio network, Gaydar Radio.
For these news stories and more, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Andy Hole.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Whole Foods, eh?
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Yay. That's a party song and a half.
Really?
No.
I thought, what type of parties do you go to?
Anyway, we've got quite an interesting one now.
Yes, the voice of Mary Milton. Now, we've been missing that voice for such a long time. Such a good radio voice. Mary went out and spoke to singer-songwriter David McColman, who delves into the closets of UK's historic houses to explore LGBTQ histories and their contemporary significance to create a new performance, Girl, Boy, Child.
So clear.
In 2017, the National Trust celebrated 50 years since the partial decriminalisation of homosexuality with its Prejudice and Pride programme. Part of its legacy is Girl, Boy, Child, a performance by David McColman. I was lucky enough to see this at Kingston Lacey, where I asked David to tell me about the characters that inspired it.
The girl of the title is Christabel Marshall, and she became Christopher St. John. She changed her own name. And she was secretary to Winston Churchill's mother, and she was the lover of Edie Craig, who she met because she was obsessed with Edie's mother, who owned Small Hythe Place. Christabel I just loved because she wrote Hunger Heart, and I just really loved the blazing fury with which she pulled the whole ridiculousness of gender behaviour apart in 1899. I mean, I have never read anything like that from that period. You know, a child who was furious for life for the fact that the Eton boys looked down their noses at her and said that they refused to play cricket with women.
And she generates sublime commotion. She knows, lives for cricket in a way that baffles her already baffled brothers.
Somebody who hated her debutante's ball so much and saw right through it straight away.
That really resonated with me, actually. Right. That just that kind of horror of having to behave in that way.
Yeah.
But to speak of such things in courteous society is just not done, he added.
Boy is William John Banks, whose house we're in right now, and a proto-Egyptologist, kind of a Lawrence Arabia of Arabia type. Conservative MP, inherited this house because his older brother died whilst at sea. He got busted in Westminster Abbey Yard and defended by a very powerful duke. He got busted a second time, and there was no defence for him, so he had to run, otherwise he'd have been murdered.
So this is basically busted for homosexual behaviour?
Yeah. In Green Park with a soldier, and in Westminster Abbey Yard with a soldier. I was very attracted to Williams. I came here and I saw his taste, and I imagined him like being really sorrowful about being separated from his house. But there's just something about him that is exemplary in terms of post-crisis. It's like, okay, I sailed close to the wind, I got busted, got into trouble, do I just lay down and die? Do I go and live my life in a monastery, you know, flagellating myself for the rest of my life? No, I continue my adventure. I just don't live in the country where they're going to kill me. So that's very inspiring, I think.
We saw that he was a child bewitched by butterflies. He dances behind them.
And then Henry Cyril Paget died very young, died at 29.
So he's the child in your...
He's the child, yeah. He's the fifth Marquess of Anglesey. he inherited the fourth largest fortune in the country and burned through it in 4 years.
And the pictures of him that you had during your performance are incredible. He's just like, he's encrusted with jewels. He looks like something out of a Queen video.
Some people do call him the Freddie Mercury of the Victorian Freddie Mercury. Interesting to know if Freddie Mercury actually knew about Henry Steele Paget, because there's one picture in particular that makes everybody go, oh my God, it's Freddie Mercury. But he was notorious. All of the major jewelers in Europe knew who he was, because if they had a rare stone gem and word got to him that they had it, he would buy it. There is a story that he was standing in front of a shop, a very expensive choice jewellery store in Paris, just after he got married, and his wife admired something in the window, and he bought the entire window display. He got so broke, they had to sell everything at Place Nazareth, everything, the dogs, the pots, the cutlery, the clothes. They found hundreds of unworn pyjamas. They found trunks full of jewellery that had never been worn.
What difference has it made doing the performances now in the three houses that they come from?
It's great because there's a rehearsal when we arrive, and that's like an invocation. It's like, you know, summoning the spirits. The blessing of the house is like the blessing from the estate. And at first there was a bit of uncertainty with the properties about what we were doing, because it's like, you know, the black gay man coming to, like, you know, do a performance about, you know, the person who owned this house once upon a time. And what's he going to say? What's he going to do? Is it going to be too irreverent? But when they hear it and they hear how researched it was and how much we care about the characters, their attitude is different. Something about speaking about the sunset at Small Hive whilst the sun was setting was just, you know, really devastating. And then looking at the bareness of Place Nazareth whilst I'm speaking about Henry coming to terms with the fact that he blew it all, and then being here in this opulence where you're aware of William's commitment to, like, creating the perfect house, which I think had an awful lot to do with the fact that that it wasn't rightfully his in terms of his inheritance, that his brother died. And so I think it became a shrine to his brother's memory as much as anything. There's nothing quite like that for making the word into more than a performance and just making the word to really live.
Girl, Boy, Child has come out of a two-year collaboration with Richard Sandel, Professor of Museum Studies at Leicester University. A previous exhibition, Exile, explored William John Banks' story in 2017.
We did that work around an anniversary, like many museums and galleries and heritage sites. 2017 was such an important year. And in that year, we saw more LGBTQ stories in the cultural field than we've seen in the previous 50 years, all concentrated in that year. But of course, lots of them go. That's the thing with an anniversary. So what we've been really keen to is use Girl, Boy, Child, use our other work with Prejudice and Pride to start to see how those stories could be visibly but seamlessly woven into the whole visitor experience moving forward. And they do bring places to life. They do enable you to understand them more fully. So we have been having discussions here at Kingston Lacey about how that can come out, and the guidebook's been rewritten and so on. And we're really keen to see how we can continue that work.
I think it's one of those things that having Exile here,
operations manager Sarah Dean,
was able to give us a really good position to be able to tell our stories in a much better way. You know, in the past, we didn't talk about William John's story in the way that we should have done and could have done. But so being able to kind of instill that story with our volunteers and train them and make them feel comfortable means that it really comes through in our everyday stories. The last couple of months, we've been doing guided tours only in the house, and the volunteers can come round and speak confidently and accurately about William John's fantastic story. And that's really a legacy from Exile and how that's played out, which is great.
Have you noticed a change in visitors at all? Are people asking about that story now?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're sat in the Spanish room at the moment with William John's painting, and we noticed that a lot of visitors will actually ask to see, can I see William John's painting? And they really understand that story. And Exile pulled a huge amount of our local community in, so they feel a lot more connected with his story. And our volunteers talking more confidently and openly about that story has really come through. So yeah, it's definitely our repeat visitors feel that they know him a lot better, which is fantastic.
Repeat visitors have retreated at Wimborne Minster. Criminal connection. Criminal conversation.
I think for a very long period, you've been coming to these houses and there's something very remote about lords and ladies, kind of framed in paintings. Their heterosexuality is assumed, their appropriateness of behaviour is assumed. But somehow, by revealing the queer lives lived in National Trust properties, was humanising for me, and I felt included. It made my Britishness mean more.
It makes a connection, doesn't it, yeah. When you think something in their life that resonates with
yes,
them.
Yeah. That just took the mystique off lords and ladies for me. They're just as human as me.
It's not the usual experience you might get of storytelling at the National Trust. The Trust have been fantastic. They gave me a lot of support and a lot of freedom to develop something different, and they gave us a lot of support at each of the sites to try and make sure we got the stories right and test ideas out. Then it's fantastic to see audience responses. The audience for Girl, Boy, Child is brilliantly mixed up in a way that I don't normally see at cultural events. So you've got people who, you've got LGBTQ people who really want to come and see that story. You've got a few diehard McCalmont fans who will come to whatever he does. Then you've got more sort of regular National Trust visitors who think this looks interesting, this looks high quality, let's go along and see. We've had some really fantastic responses. And they also get a chance to see the property in a different light. So people will come to Kingston Lacey, they'll look around some of the rooms, they'll see some of the references which are then brought to life in the performance. And I think that all comes together in quite a powerful way.
A lot of people are astonished that these people existed and astonished by what they went through. And most of the people who come to these shows are not LGBT people. And that's the most scary thing. Oh, my God, I'm going to speak to elderly National Trust members. And there's something about the show that means that I'm completely separated from the audience throughout. And it's not until the end that I know what they think. But consistently, it's been great. The only weird thing that happened was this woman in... Bless her. This woman at Place Nazareth came to me after the show. And she said, oh, the minute you started singing, I thought you were that bloke from Hot Chocolate. You weren't in Hot Chocolate, were you?
Have a fantastic team here at Kingston Lacey, and I know that they felt really passionately about William John's story and the fact that we were able to tell that. They really got behind. In fact, one of our members of staff here who'd been in a gay relationship for many years, she had been with her partner and never felt the need to sort of get married and kind of be able to enjoy that right now. But after Exile, decided that was something that they wanted to do. So in the summer of 2018, they got married, and that was something they felt really empowered from Exile, which was a fantastic story and really showed how as a team we've really felt that that story is an important thing to tell, and it's great that we're in a place nowadays where we can celebrate that.
The day after tomorrow I shall set off. Venice, Verona, Paris.
I think it's important to do this kind of show. And this isn't queering history, it's just like telling, it's just like showing the whole picture. Because these stories, like Henry's story, is mostly told by stuffy, reactionary bigots from the Victorian period. But when a black gay man has a look at that information, it's a different interpretation for somebody to come to. And I think that gay people need to tell gay stories because the investment and the knowledge of being is just different.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
If you're an EU citizen living in the UK, you will need to apply to the EU Settlement Scheme. This means that the rights you currently have will be protected after the UK leaves the EU. The scheme is fully open and you have plenty of time to apply. It is free, To find out more and to apply, visit gov.uk/EU settlement scheme. Irish citizens or those with valid indefinite leave don't need to apply.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the fourth exciting episode of Under the Brolly in association with Shout Out Radio. My name's Steve.
And my name's Tom, and we are from Reading's My Umbrella.
The reason for our podcast is to identify and explain and educate the wonderful masses about the lesser known LGBT plus sexualities, identities, genders and orientations.
This month we're going to talk about autocorosexualism,
which I'm really glad you pronounced because I've just seen how it's spelled and I have no hope in hell's chance of being able to pronounce that.
So I imagine probably a lot of people have heard of lesbian, bi, trans, gay, all these different terms, but this one is one of the more obscure ones that we've got in our little oracle of LGBT terms and identities, which is our My Umbrella Guide to LGBT+. So we're going to explain a bit what it's actually about, and we're also going to describe to you what the flag looks like, because obviously you can't see what it looks like. So Steve, how would you describe this flag?
I'm so glad that you gave that to me as well, because if you were going to get me to try and say it, I would be more concerned. So the flag itself, it's essentially a selection of horizontal lines. They go from top to bottom. They are alternating colours, and you have essentially, in the middle of the flag pointing downwards, a equilateral triangle. And in amongst these horizontal lines, you have essentially in amongst the triangle purple at the top, and then it goes into white, then it goes into grey, and then it goes into black at the bottom. Now, in contrast to the triangle, the remaining part of the flag on the outside goes from the top black, then into grey, then into white, and then into purple. So essentially the opposite to what the triangle is showing. So for those of you that do spot this particular flag out and about, hopefully my very, very ambiguous description of it will help you to identify it better.
And if those colours sound familiar, it's because it's the same colours used in the asexuality flag, which is the purple, white, grey and black. And the reason for that is because if you are autocorosexual, it is actually part of the asexual umbrella. So if you're an asexual person, you don't have any sexual desire or attraction to anyone else, although you may have romantic attraction or aesthetic attraction to other people. But the difference with autocorosexual people is that they do have an arousal. However, that is not linked to the desire to act upon that arousal or the desire to enact it with anyone else. So in our little book, would you like to read out what our description is?
I think I will, yeah, because I'll be honest, I struggle to keep up with that. So the description that we have got for
autocorosexualism,
see, I'm getting out and not saying this, is some asexual people can be aroused by or masturbate to sexual situations or material without experiencing attraction to those involved in the situation and without a desire to be personally involved in the situation. So essentially, think of it, if you will, as arousal at a distance.
Exactly. And the reason for the strange name is because autocorus translates to identityless. So it's essentially a sexuality that doesn't have a kind of tangible goal. So it's almost like sexual feelings towards something which either doesn't exist or it may exist as a fiction. So you might imagine a sexual situation or have some sort of fantasy, but it's not something that you wish to enact or desire to experience. So this was something that was coined by Anthony Beaujart, who's one of the leading asexuality researchers, and he came out with this paper, used this term, and it's been adopted by the asexual community because there's quite a few asexual people who do have certain feelings but don't act upon them, and for some of the community members it felt like there wasn't a space for them because they felt that if they did have those feelings then they can't be asexual, which of course is not the case.
Rubbish.
So some of the things that autocorosexuals may experience is that they may get aroused by sexual contact but not actually want to engage in any sexual activities.
They may also masturbate but are neutral or repulsed by the idea of having sex with another person.
And they might also fantasize about sex but envision people other than themselves, or view it in the third person, so almost like they're watching it on TV rather than imagining it in the first person with their own eyes.
So just going back to that from a, you know, from the layman speaking, so does that basically mean that they would fantasize about them having sex even though they haven't had sex, so they don't know what having sex is?
Potentially. I mean, I think the key thing is that it doesn't actually get experienced firsthand. So if you feel a sexual desire or attraction, it's almost directionless. It kind of just feels like it's being used as a process, I guess. So, you know, they might enjoy masturbating, or they might be aroused, but they wouldn't actually want to act upon it. So I think it's interesting how this idea that there is almost like a fictional detachment. So like the idea that you're maybe not yourself in that role, you're identityless, and maybe you're taking on other roles. So it's a bit more of a unusual one for us to cover because it is such a new orientation. I mean, the flag's only recently been proposed, so it's not something that's been put out there that much. But
excellent choice of words is put out there.
So we thought we might spread the word a little bit. So if you are autocorosexual, or maybe you've just realised that you might be, we'd love to hear from you and maybe get a bit more about your experiences with that identity and any other identities as well.
Yeah, and of course, as we always said in our previous episode as well, if you do also want to follow exactly what we're going through over the next couple of weeks, months, years, however long we put up this with our podcast, I'd like to think it's going to be a long time, then you can actually go onto the My Umbrella website, which is www.myumbrella.org.uk, and you can navigate to the section that says shop, where you can actually purchase for a donation one of our guide to LGBT+. That actually gives you a huge breakdown of all the various sexualities, orientations, genders and identities that we will be speaking about for many, many more months to come. At the same time, you can also keep in touch with us by either going onto our website and clicking contact. You can also find us on Facebook, just search for My Umbrella. We have also got our Twitter feed as well, so by all means search for My Umbrella on Twitter. Do feel free to use our handle, which is @MyUmbrellaUK, and it will be great to essentially receive more contact from all of you out there listening to our podcast.
Apologies for the cat who's just decided to get involved with the microphone. There we go. So that's it for episode 4. Please feel free to join us on social media and get in touch. We'd love to hear from you about your experiences, and feel free to get in touch if you've got any questions about any identities you may not have a full idea what they're all about, because there's so many of them. And we'll join you next month for another episode of Under the Brolly. So we'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
God, I'm loving the music.
your nose has just grown by about 10.5 inches.
Doink.
Well, it was the top of the pops theme in the early 1980s.
It was
79 to 86,
and it's my Monday morning show theme,
and it occasionally gets played on my Monday evening show as a backing track. So
they must get bored on this station then on Monday.
Yeah,
we should point out to listeners that's for listeners on BCFM. Yes. So. Just because we go out on a few, don't try and. We love Andy. He's not on all of them yet.
not
on a Monday, anyway.
No.
So, but yeah, that was Yellow Pearl by Phil Lynott.
Lynott,
is it? Oh, okay. I don't know.
Tush. Before we start, chatting amongst ourselves.
Put your glasses on. Come on.
You know my glasses are on. Are you blind? Put yours on. Do you remember when we were talking about the movie about Blackpool Sands, the first ever Pride?
Yeah.
And the move is being financed now. So they've got an event to try and raise funds. So on the afternoon of 28th of April at 4 p.m. at the Freedom Quarter in Leeds, a local community event with global reach to thousands will be taking place. The cast of the independent British film Once a Year on Blackpool Sands, a true story of courage, defence and triumph within the hidden and illegal LGBTQ community of the summer of 1953, year of my birth, are replicating the same 15-minute walk, and six remarkable people took to the North South Pier one night in Blackpool in what must surely have been the first origins and element of a walk that what would become, many years later, as Pride. There you go. Mm. I can't wait to see this movie. absolutely brilliant. So that's what's going on. So it's at the Freedom Quarter in Leeds, 28th of April at 4 p.m. So that's a Sunday. So they're also crowdfunding. You can head over to babydogfilms.co.uk to pledge to Phyllis. That's a PHYLLIS. And I think we'll be talking to Jill Schultz next week to see what the latest is of the movie. And shout out is in the credits of the movie, and we've been invited to the red carpet opening.
Oh, amazing.
Oh, so yeah.
Can we say hello to Hannah again? Hello.
Hello, good evening.
How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
I forgot we needed to say hello because she hasn't stopped chatting since we got here.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm very quiet.
My right ear is growing.
You're right here.
Yeah, my right. I am right here, but my right ear is twice the size. I can't.
What, put your teeth back in?
No, they're in the glass.
Oh, right. Ew. Sorry for that vision she just gave you there. But now, is this in the script from last week, or did you specifically want to talk about Brunei again this week?
No, because what we're going to do is we'll be talking about that next week. Tara's got all the information together, so we'll be talking about the latest, and people will know about Brunei, the stoning of LGBTQ. People, sodomy, and also abortion is being punished as well severely. The push is on to have Brunei isolated, removed from the Commonwealth, but the Queen's obviously not doing much about that at the moment. The forces have, though. The British forces have contacted the Sultan of Brunei about their concerns, because obviously being gay is okay in our armed forces. Mm-hmm. So if they've got serving gay soldiers in Brunei, there could be a threat to their life.
I have to admit, for me, what I think is really nice is the international response of condemnation back to it.
It was, yeah. Yes, and from LGBT allies.
It wouldn't have happened like 20 years ago.
No.
So yeah, really, really good. So okay, cool. So we'll be giving you a bit of an update
discussing
this week.
That. And Thang and Debonair, I had a chat to via Twitter, because it was her who brought the piece to the House of the Parliament at 4:30 yesterday afternoon. So hopefully we'll be able to talk to her next week about what that was and what she's hoping to achieve.
Cool. And as always, if you have a view, let us know. Studio at shoutoutradio.lgbt is the address, or just head to our website and you can fill out a form there. So we've got quite an interesting show coming next week as well, haven't we?
Yeah, we have, yes. We've also got BMCC. There's a new showing at the Redgrave Theatre, and we'll be talking to Ian Dunscombe and the team. So next week's show will be called Seaman, Tap and Song.
Love it.
Sounds rather interesting.
Yes, I thought so too, but that's not the name of the play. That was just...
Is it called Seaman, Tap and Song?
That was just what I named the show next
week. Right, okay.
So we need to tell you, we'll inform you, you need to practice your tap and your hula hooping, because you will be performing live in the studio.
Okay.
Obviously, this makes good radio.
I think we should stream it on Facebook or something, because your new hula hoop glows, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah, glow in the dark. We've, LED.
We've been doing some fact finding about our newest member, Hannah, and it turns out she loves hula hooping.
I do.
Yes, and grey corduroy.
Google it.
Please don't,
because the two do go together.
What, hula hooping in grey corduroy?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll hula hoop in corduroys.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
That could happen.
No, there's a vision.
Yeah.
So anyway, that is it for this week.
Yep, and take your rainbow chiffon throw with you, Andrew.
Do you mean comfy blankie? What the hell?
Help.
Okay. Anyway, catch us on the 12 partner stations
and the podcast from shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Tomorrow's another day closer to being dead.
Thank you for that. Keep to the script, Andrew. Been enjoying broadcasting with you.
Yeah, thanks. Can I write the script this week?
No. Yeah, goodbye, please. Everyone.
So bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.